Welcome to the Cashflow Ninja, the podcast sharing how to create and grow income streams and manage, multiply, and protect your wealth in the new economy. Are you tired of trading your time for money? Do you desire freedom today instead of retirement in 10, 20, or 30 years? I'm MC Lobsher, and this is the Cashflow Ninja. Hello, Cashflow Ninjas. MC Lobsher here, and welcome to another episode of the Cashflow Ninja. I have a great show for you today. In today's show, we're going to look at three leadership secrets to win hearts and maximize performance. My guest in this episode is Hernani Alves. Hernani is an entrepreneur, Amazon best-selling author, international speaker, and executive consultant with over 20 years of business experience as a sales executive for a $3 billion company. He's the founder of Balanced IQ, a company that helps leaders build world-class teams focused on getting sustainable results in varying economic climates. As a skilled presenter and trainer, Hernani brings an ability to convey what matters in a way that makes sense and is easy to implement. I, by the way, have launched another podcast, Cashflow Investing Secrets. It's a shorter show, 10 minutes or less, where I share one concept and or idea at a time that I've learned from interviewing over 500 Cashflow Ninjas. You could check out the new show on your favorite podcast, video, or live streaming platform by simply typing in Cashflow Investing Secrets. Other valuable resources I can offer is access to our private Facebook group. You could go to Facebook and search Cashflow Ninja Community to join us, and our exclusive investor community. You can email me at info@cashflowninja.com for more information. On October 25th, there's another Learn and Grow event at the historic Renault Winery in southern New Jersey, just outside of Atlantic City. The event is hosted by Josh and Melanie McCallan, and it is a fantastic quarterly event to meet and network with fantastic people, learn from speakers and other attendees, and you get to enjoy amazing food and wine, and wait for it, American champagne. I'm super excited to be involved in this resort rehab project, and I'm attending the event with people from my meetup, investors group, and other Cashflow Ninja listeners, and it would be awesome if you could join us at this event. This is a resort, so if you're traveling there, there is a hotel to stay at on the property, along with the other amenities, such as the spa, restaurants, golf course, wedding venues, and of course, the winery. You can email me at info@cashflowninja.com for more information. Savvy investors know that in order for the miracle of compounding interest to work, its magic, you have to be constantly invested in all stages of the economic cycle. So the question then becomes, how do you find solid investments when the stock market is close to all-time highs and everything else just seems so inflated? That's where our friends at ASIM Capital come in. Since 2011, ASIM has helped more than 300 accredited investors allocate more than $25 million to mobile home parks, self-storage, and workforce housing due to their ability to perform well during economic recessions. If you're interested in learning more, head on over to asymcapital.com. That's asymcapital.com to get instant access to their investment offerings. MC Lobsher, the creator of the Cashflow Ninja and Cashflow Coach at Producers Wealth, where we help our clients integrate infinite banking with their business and investments. To learn how you can create your own banking system to turbocharge your investments and business in 30 days or less, go to yourownbankingsystem.com. That's yourownbankingsystem.com. Hernani, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you. Thank you for having me. This is unbelievable to be a part of this.
Yeah. Super excited to connect. And I've been looking forward to this conversation because you've got an amazing story and background, which we'll jump into in a second. Hernani, can you please share a little bit about your background and journey with my listeners?
Yeah. So Hernani is a unique name. It's probably something you've never heard of. And it comes from Africa. So my dad had migrated there when he was 19. He went to Angola, Africa, got on a boat, started a business, took off, did very well. And then I was born in 1975. My sister is 14 years older than me. And there was a famous singer in Africa. And he's like the Elvis Presley of singers. And my sister really liked him, convinced my mom to name me Hernani, and boom, here I am as her nanny, but I cannot sing. So I let my sister and my mom down right out of the gate. But it's a unique name. I didn't like it when I was younger. But now that I've grown up, it becomes great because it's hard to, once you see it, you'll never forget it type of name. So it's really helped me long term.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I love it too. Angola, you know, it's coming from Africa myself too. I appreciate that as well. So your first language is Portuguese.
Yeah. So I didn't learn it until I was 8. In 1975, when I was born, unfortunately, that's when the Angolan Civil War, you probably remember how bad it was there. Mm-hmm. And it really just, my dad lost everything. He was in the upper middle class. Overnight, he got a knock on the door that just said, you better get out or we're going to kill you. And he lost, the whole bank system got corrupt, and he took us, we ended up with the Red Cross. So thankful for them. And we lived there for about 6 months. And then we finally got out of there, and my dad regrouped and restarted again. And so he's a hero that I look at my family with my parents. And so I'm very thankful for both of them. Just always having that can-do attitude.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And never giving up. So if you can get into a little bit of your background, because you leadership and sales is in your forte. How did you get into that?
Yeah, so I started off at a company. It was actually in California called Sleep Train Mattress Centers. And it was just going to be part-time. It wasn't something I was going to do. And so it was just a part-time salesperson. Got in there, fell in love with it, fell in love with the people. And I eventually grew up in that company to become the president of the company. So and there was a few times in my journey that I really learned what I was doing at the beginning. If I would have continued doing that, I wouldn't have been successful. So I had to pivot and make some changes. So it's just really fell in love with leadership, fell in love with people, and just you can execute and get things done. You can have the exact same store on the corner of Main and Main, but you get the wrong people in there, that store is going to go bankrupt. You change it with the right people, don't change anything else, and that store is going to prosper, and you're probably going to open multiple stores. So it really comes down to your number one asset, the people.
That's so true. You know, business, real estate, you know, we've got listeners in all types of industries and niches, but the people are the assets.
Yeah, and I know your background, rugby, big rugby fan, and then you've probably seen where you've got the same players and all you did was change the coach, and what happened to that same team? It's just a different mentality. And so this really comes down to that can win, can do attitude.
Yep, absolutely. And it's the same with rugby. You and I were chit-chatting a little bit beforehand, which is so a lot of fun. When I figured out your name and the heritage and your ties to Africa and Angola, we're talking a little bit about rugby with the Rugby World Cup coming up. How could you not, in Japan, right? But it's so true what you just said. Like in business, you could have the same shop on that corner. You change the people and the culture in there, and all of a sudden, it's now a very successful store or business, right, where it was failing. And there's just so many times, tying it into rugby, there's just so many times that you've seen countries or teams that were struggling, very much so, not successful at all, and one or two changes comes in, a complete cultural overhaul within the team and the way that they do things, and then all of a sudden, you know, now they're on track and they're world beaters. England comes to mind, right? Didn't for folks not familiar with rugby or have no interest in it, the England failed to make the knockout stages of the last World Cup at home, which was a big deal. And you know, same thing happened with them, coaching overhaul, cultural change, and they're one of the favorites going into this tournament 4 years later.
Great. Those are all great examples. I think everybody has those examples. And that's what I saw with my family early on when they, you know, they had that. My dad went there at such a young age to Africa, started a business. He had, we had two restaurants, three mechanic shops, and he had an auto trading business, upper middle class, loses everything overnight. And he could have just had this mentality like, oh, poor me. And he's quite the opposite. He moved this to another country and started another business. And he's just an entrepreneur, and he goes to these countries and brought us to the U.S. even, and which he didn't know the language, and started another business. So it's all that mentality, and I really believe you're in your outcome. If you want to predict the future, the best way to do that is go out and create it. And that's actually a quote from Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, Absolutely. And another thing that that I pick up, and I have a little bit of the same worldview too, is when you go through that, maybe you can speak to that. Once you go through something like your dad goes through, control is a big factor. And like you said, you want to go and create the future because you know circumstances can change any minute on, just a quick on a turn. And that whole mentality sometimes of this can happen here could really, really, really hurt people in the long run.
Absolutely. And you got to be prepared for that. You should always know, you should always plan for the Armageddon. If this happens, what are we going to do? Because if you plan for in advance, you're going to execute much better. If you wait until Armageddon happens, and it could happen, you're going to be in shock. You're not going to make the right decision. So it's so important to have kind of a game plan just in case Armageddon did come to where we had to really pivot and go do something else.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Now let's talk a little bit about accountability. Because I love it. And by the way, there's a great book that Hernani has published, Balanced Accountability, Three Leadership Secrets to Win Hearts and Maximize Performance. Love that word accountability. Let's talk a little bit about that. What it means to you, how you view it, how did you develop so much passion for accountability?
Absolutely. And I love that you love it. It's rare. And what I found out is athletes love it. They're like, accountability, that's all about me. I had to get up in the morning. I had to work extra hard, harder than the other person, just so I can get that starting job. And then what happens is some people get into the corporate world and they move into that. And as soon as that happens, accountability, like no one talks about it. Because if you do, you're going to end up in HR, or you're the bad person, or nobody likes me. And it couldn't be further from the truth. Accountability equals love. And I learned that on early on. I kind of always relate the stories to my family, but that's how we sometimes learn. And I remember this day when we had moved to Idaho from overseas, from Azores, and my dad decided to start a dairy. And when you're 9 years old, or anybody that's living on the farm, you got to go out and help your parents. You got to just, it's part of the job. You either got to go grab the eggs from the chickens or go do something. And my job was to help my dad milk cows. So I'd get off the bus at 9 years old, go into the barn, and I would relieve him so he could go and feed cows. And then we'd go to dinner at night as a family. And I remember this day clearly. It was a very cold November day. I get out. It's not something I wanted to do, go to the barn. And I go in and I see this cow. Her number is number one. And number one was the very first cow in our dairy, the very first calf. And now she had grown into becoming a cow to where you have to milk. And I brought her to milk her, and she did not want to come in because she had never been there. And I tried to get the machine on her. She tried to kick me. So just keep in mind, I'm 75 pounds and this is a 1500 pound animal. And I've got manure all over me at this point because she just is not having it. She won't eat the grain. And then I decide to let her go. I'm not going to milk her. Mm-hmm. So I let her go. And then all of a sudden, I start cleaning up. I got about 10 minutes. All of a sudden, I hear the gate behind me open up. And here's number one again. And I hear my dad's footsteps coming in. And we've all kind of probably heard our parents' footsteps when you're in trouble. Not the I'm happy with you footsteps.
Yep.
He comes in and puts the cow in the manger and gave me the biggest spanking I've ever gotten. And that was one of the very first moments where I really learned accountability, and I hated him for it. I was not a big fan of it. Like, I'm 9 years old. I shouldn't be doing this. None of my friends do this. So I thought after my big spanking that I was done. I could just go home to mom and cry. And he grabbed me by my collar and said, "Now you go finish that job that you started." And that was one of the best lessons I learned. And I thank him for that. I thank him for pushing me and holding me accountable. And I think as some of your listeners, or maybe even yourself, MC, you probably go back and understand some stories where somebody that truly loved you held you accountable to a higher standard. And you're so thankful they did that, because you wouldn't be successful if it wasn't for them doing that. And that happened to me at 9 years old with my parents. So,
yeah. Absolutely. Well, it doesn't sound like your dad would be fond of a lot of the participatory trophies these days.
No, he would get in trouble. You know, this is before you know, a good little spanking here and there, but this is before timeout was even invented. And I probably wouldn't never done that with my children. I've definitely held them accountable with timeouts or taking games or different things. I'm not the most popular parent when it comes to that. But I've seen them now when they're growing up being teenagers, they reference some of those and they just have that perseverance to where they want to get stuff done because they know I better do this right because my parents are going to be on top of me to make sure I get it done right the first time.
Yeah, absolutely. Good lessons. Question for you, accountability in business and in business environments and in organizations and so forth, and maybe even on a personal level, what are some of the things that we can do as far as setting us up to be accountable to ourselves? You know, side note, I always said, you know, when you make promises to yourself and you start holding yourself accountable and doing those things that you promised yourself, it also grows your confidence. So what are the things that we could do on a personal level within the teams that we work in and then also from an organizational level to hold ourselves and as individuals and groups accountable?
Yeah, so one, it's the three Ps, I call that in the book. And these are the proven three Ps. I used it for the company that I worked with that had over 15,000 employees, even with companies now that I've helped mentor and they've adopted this. The three P's start exactly like the first one you just talked about, personal accountability. And that is one of the most important ones. And if you look at who the most important person in your life is, who is that? And you just take a moment to think about that. Some people come up with their spouse or a family member, somebody very significant. But if you really think about that, most important person is you. There is nobody more important in this world right now than you. You can't help who you thought, that other person that you thought was like a spouse or that very significant family member. You can't help them if you don't take care of yourself first. So you personally need to look at yourself and hold yourself accountable. And it could be certain things. And where I learned this on early on in my career, I was 23 years old. I got a store to go run. And this is a store that there was a smaller store. There was a store that they called the graveyard. They were going to close this store once the lease ran up and most people that went there died. It's like their careers died. Mm-hmm. I got this store by default. I get in there and we change it around. 2 months, we triple the volume of the store. It now moves up in the top 10 stores in the company, including sales and margin. So we're not just giving stuff away. And my leader comes in 2 months later, and I'm like, he's going to crown me the best leader of all time, takes me out to lunch and tells me something I needed to hear. And he told me that the team that I have did not want to work with me. And I couldn't believe that. I'm like, are you kidding me? These guys are making the most they've ever made, the most money. They were getting their bonuses. They're exceeding goals. They're not getting written up and they want to leave me. They go, my leader, his name is Matt, goes, do you know what they call you? And so my name's Hernani. They called me her Nazi. And I couldn't believe that. I was like, one of the worst things you could ever call a manager leader, a name like that. And that was my reflection that I had to hold myself accountable and get feedback from them on what I was doing, the things that I can improve on. And one was I micromanaged quite a bit, everything. And then the other one was I didn't catch anybody doing things right. I was in there trying to catch people doing things wrong. And as soon as they shifted the mentality to catching people doing things right, magnifying that, our sales went to a higher level. And the people that were in that store ended up crowning me as their best leader that they've ever had. And it wasn't until I made that understanding that I need to look at myself, get feedback from my team. And that really, I think that's been my biggest pivot in leadership to where it took me in the right direction to where I became a mentor for others and ended up becoming the president of the company. So thankful and grateful for that.
You're listening to The Cashflow Ninja, the show helping people all over the world create monthly cash flow and achieve freedom today, not in 10, 20, 30, and or 40 years. This is the show where cash is not king, but cash flow is king. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Kings, queens, and royal families, along with the nobility and ultra-rich, have warehoused and stored their wealth for centuries in gold and silver, art, land, and real estate. These assets have stood the test of time through centuries and have been a great place to preserve and protect their wealth. Like gold, silver, land, and real estate, art has been around for centuries and will be around for many, many more centuries. That's why the ultra-rich will continue to invest in art and preserve their wealth in art. While the S&P declined 5.1% in 2018, the art market returned 10.6% and was called the best investment 2018 by the Wall Street Journal. Masterworks is the first company to allow investors to buy shares of great blue chip art masterpieces by artists like Picasso, Monet, and Warhol. You can get set up on their platform at cashflowninja.com/art.
My friend Dave Zook from The Real Asset Investor says you can be conventional or you can be wealthy. Pick one. The Real Asset Investor team creates value for investors looking for higher yield returns from ATM machines and self-storage investments. Their syndications offer attractive investment opportunities that produce strong cash flow, equity growth, huge tax incentives. They are truly passive and managed by a world-class team. To learn more about the exciting investment opportunities The Real Asset Investor offers, such as their ATM and self-storage syndications, please visit cashflowninja.com/realassetinvestor. You're listening to The Cashflow Ninja, the show helping people all over the world create monthly cash flow and achieve freedom today, not in 10, 20, 30, and or 40 years. This is a show where cash is not king, but cash flow is king. Now let's return to our interview. Now, one of the things you talk about too, accountability, and we covered how that's a little bit of a naughty word and not a lot of folks like that, except for athletes, of course. But you also compare that to love and that it equals love. How does accountability translate into love, or how does it equal love?
Yeah, so kind of referring back to my story there with my dad, he loved me. That's why he was holding me accountable, and that's why my parents held me accountable. I have coaches. I played semi-professional soccer, and I remember some of the coaches I didn't like at the beginning held me accountable the most, which helped me the most in my career. And I think people can reflect to that when they start seeing who really held them accountable. It came from love. And love is a word that if you say in the workplace too, you're going to go to HR. It's just like a naughty word. But I'm not talking about the romantic part of love. You know, that's home. That's with your spouse. And then there's love for your family. I'm talking about the love for humanity, the love for helping other people grow, just like what you're doing, MC. You've got an amazing podcast there with Cashflow Ninja. You love helping other people. It's very apparent. It comes out. You bring in all these guests that love helping other people. And what I've learned is when you start really helping other people get to that next level, they help you and they help take you to that next level as well. So the more you show that love, and you do such a great job with that. So you're a great role model for that.
I appreciate that. And one of the things that obviously you come from an entrepreneurial, you have a definitely an entrepreneurial dad, right? So that was always inside of you. And you have started a company too that's very, very impressive, Balance IQ. Could you share a little bit what you guys do there and how you came up with the company and built that company?
Yeah, so I've been through 31 different mergers and acquisitions. And the last one, we sold the company, which was great. They've all been phenomenal. So I understand some of the stresses that go through with converting people to this new company and the change. There was one where we had to convert all the stores. So it's time for me to exit as president of the company. And you got to kind of start with a new culture. And once I left, I had people reaching out to me. They wanted me to come and mentor, kind of check their blind spots in business. So I wanted to be more grounded. And what I found out in my life is I tend to swing the pendulum too far to the right. And then when I swing it too far to the right, I go, okay, I got to bring it back. I swing it to the left and I tend to not be as balanced. So the name Balanced IQ Leadership is what I do with leaders. Is I really help them come in and understand one, the biggest one, the most popular, is accountability. It could be sales. It could be whatever they're focused on. How we become more grounded, more balanced, so we can achieve the results that we want to get without having to change the flavor really quick and swing the pendulum in the other direction. So that's what I help. I help entrepreneurs. I help leaders help take their business to the next level of what they're trying to do. And I make it tough for them. I mean, I'm going to give them exactly what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. I will come up with an action plan for them, but I will help them execute it. I don't execute it, I will help them execute it. And the reason I don't execute it is because if your team sees me execute it and then I leave, that doesn't build anything that's going to be there long term that's going to stick. However, if I mentor you and be there right next to your side and be a wingman, and they see you execute it, your business takes off the next level, and then all of a sudden you start getting into a lot more positive cash flow, and you can do more positive things that you want to do with your life.
Now, as a coach and a mentor, the role that you're playing now in your life, what role has coaching and mentorship played to you? And are there still mentors that you learn from, and do you still have coaches?
Absolutely. All the time. So even now, one of my biggest mentor, his name was Dale Carlson. He was the founder of Sleep Train. He kind of took me under his wing. Dale and I would always, I would tend to get him red in the face pretty quick because I would challenge him, but he always took me under his wing, and he really helped me understand that surrounding yourself with great people, treat them well, help them go to that next level. They will help you as well. So he was one of my first mentors. I still work with him to this day. We're partners in other programs that I've done. I'm a big fan of ever since I was 14 years old, I've always had two jobs. So as either an entrepreneur, I'm in the car wash business, kind of do some extra trading and different things that you talk about, which does a really good job about having a diversified portfolio and different things. So that's one of my key mentors there. When I wrote the book, I had to go out and find, I've never written a book. English is like, I'm a C student. So English was not going to be, you would probably never read this book. So I went and found somebody that's done a great job, that has a proven track record. His name's Steve Farber. He's the founder of Extreme Leadership. He actually just wrote a book and just this past week launched it. It's his fourth book, and it talks about love is just damn good business. And it's taken off. It's probably going to become a New York top seller here very quick. So you just got to go out and find people that really are doing a good job, have a proven track record, and be open-minded to feedback. You don't know. You're going into something that you've never done before, but they will help you and go to where you want it to go.
Absolutely. What are some of the things that's working in your personal life and business, and why does it work?
The big one that's from a personal life, there's been some things that I've learned. My daughter's 16 now, so I wanted to take some time because early on in my career, I was traveling a lot, so I wasn't around home. And so I wanted to make sure these last 2 years of her high school, she's going to college this next year, that I was there to just be present. And I remember when early on in her career, or playing soccer, she was about 8 years old, we're in the backyard kicking the soccer ball, and I was trying to teach her how to kick harder. And I told her, I go, and I hope your listeners don't judge me. You know, I'm going to be very vulnerable here. Is it okay to be vulnerable? And
see, absolutely. Your
listeners won't judge me.
All right. Go ahead.
So my daughter, I tell her, you kick like a girl. You need to kick harder. And I told my daughter that, and it just kind of came out. And she looked at me and goes, Dad, I am a girl. How do you want me to kick? And at that moment, I realized what I had just said and how I probably shouldn't have not even thought of that or said that. And I changed it to, I need you to kick like a superhero. And then all of a sudden she understood what that was. So I became more cautious on really being careful what I'm saying to people. And that was my daughter just teaching me that quick little lesson of just certain things you shouldn't say. And that helped me in my career as well. And I've helped other people saying, that's probably something you shouldn't say. I'm holding them accountable. And they really thank me for that later. Many times they go, no one ever told me that. I'm so glad you're telling me.
Yeah.
So that's one, a personal one. The other one that I really believe in is taking action. And I've heard this in a lot of your podcasts. It is so true, is that some people just, they have an idea what they want to do, and they just ponder it, and they want to make sure that they make it a bulletproof idea, that they can, that no matter what, when they jump in there, that it's going to be bulletproof, and they're going to be successful from the beginning. And Zig Ziglar has a great quote for this, is that there is no elevator to success. You've got to take the stairs. And so what you need to do is have an idea. It's not going to be bulletproof. Just understand it's not. But if you get it to about for me, if I get it to about 30 or 40%, I just jump in. I just take action. And the book that I just wrote recently, it was that I kind of just jumped in. I had an idea what I was going to do, but I didn't know anything about writing a book. And then I took action. I found a really good editor that helped me from Canada, has done business books. She guided me and helped me get all my sloppy ideas into one. The three P's were there, but we wanted to make sure we understood and got some good hardcore examples in the book. I wanted to create it like a hybrid business book. I think some business books are just boring because it's just models. This is stories, plus there's action steps at the end of each chapter. So she really helped me put that together, and it ended up becoming an Amazon bestseller in the construction industry and insurance industry within the first month. So it worked. It's great, and I'm very thrilled to be a part of it.
Fantastic. Now, one habit I've observed from wealthy and successful people is that they're always studying new subjects and learning new skill sets. What are you currently studying, and what new skill sets are you currently learning?
Yeah, so that's a good one. Let me think about that for the one that I'm thinking to do right now. One, I'm working with HR executive, and I need to understand the space because it continues to evolve. And when I wrote the book, we wrote it and I had an HR sign off on it. So now they are converting this book to become an HR accountability workshop. I've done a few workshops, but we wanted to make sure we did something that's still fun, interactive. So I'm really trying to understand and learn that part of it. One, a friend of mine that connected you and I, John Crosby, a great friend of mine. And I know he's part of your program as well. And I thank him for connecting us. He's really helped me open up and understand like Bitcoin, understand all these other different ways that you can make some investments that are outside of the traditional thinking, and which is, I'm very thankful for that. So I'm starting to look into that and had some successes. Yeah, I've made some mistakes, but I've always looked at mistakes as a great learning opportunity as long as you don't make the same mistake twice.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, a core message in our show is to leave our families, communities, and the world better than we found it by passing down a mindset, values, and principles to future generations, not just money. So if you cannot pass on any money to future generations and we're only allowed to pass on three principles to them to build wealth and achieve happiness and success, what would they be?
Awesome. That's a great one. So number one that is so important, we've said it a few times, and I know you mentioned it. Number one is love. Really show the love. Embrace that word. Understand what that word means. It's not it goes to the romantic side. That is very popular, but it's also the love of humanity, helping other people, help them get what they're looking for, guiding them in the right direction, and just providing that love for your family, for your fellow people that you run into. Then also the second one would be take action. You really got to do that. If you've been sitting there on the sidelines, the only way you're going to get in that game is by working your butt off in practice and getting in there and going and doing it. And you've got to take action. If you don't, you're just going to sit on the sidelines and eventually you're going to probably move on and go play a different sport or not a sport at all. So you've really got to jump into the game, and that's the hardest part. So that's how I learned how to swim, is I had to jump into the deep section. I stayed close to the edge, but I realized that I understood how to thread water fairly quick. So it's a fast way. And the third one, play to win. This is one I see all the time. I see it. I saw it this weekend in the NFL. It's play to win. And what that means is when you're playing to win, you're really going after how to be successful. When you start playing not to lose, what you're doing is you're protecting your nest egg. I'm just going to protect it. I don't want it to do anything. I don't want to lose it all. And that's when I see people lose it. And then this weekend, NFL teams were doing that, where they had a 20-point lead, and then all of a sudden, they go into protection. I'm going to protect the lead. I'm going to play prevent defense. And all of a sudden, they start playing prevent defense, and they end up almost losing the game or completely losing the game because they went into that protection mode. But if they would have just kept the pedal on the metal and kind of really embraced taking their team to the next level, scoring more points, they'll become successful. And I think you got to look at that. Are you playing to win? Or are you playing not to lose?
So true. And I saw the same thing and see the same things in life, you know, with a lot of folks that have that success and then they go into defensive mode and then all of a sudden things start unraveling and winding down. So absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more. Hernani, where can listeners learn more about you, what you do, where can they find the book that is out, Balance Accountability, Three Leadership Secrets to Win Hearts and Maximize Performance? And where can they stay informed of all of the projects that you're involved with?
Awesome. Thank you, MC. One is you go to Balanced IQ, and that's balanced as past tense, IQ.com. There you can actually get my six questions employee report card. This is if you have an employee review program now, it probably doesn't work. Most organizations, it doesn't. Download this employee report card. This is will probably be what you'll use forever moving forward. And it's six questions. The employee fills it out themselves. They conduct it. They meet with you. They hold themselves accountable. You provide some positive accountability. You talk about their performance. I didn't even talk about all the three P's today, but three P's are personal accountability, positive accountability, and performance accountability. So there you get the free one. You can follow me along with that, where you can get the book. It's an international seller now, so you can go to almost anywhere where you get your books. But Amazon, yeah, you look up Balanced Accountability, you can get it there. They even have same day delivery, or you can get it. They got an audio version of it. They have it in a Kindle, so your choice.
Fantastic. Well, I appreciate you coming on the show and sharing your journey and your knowledge and providing so much value for my listeners. And this has been great to connect, Hernani.
Awesome. Thank you, MC. Wish you the best for your team here coming into the World Cup in Japan. I'll be watching.
Thank you. Yeah, we're going to need it. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Take care. Goodbye, listeners.
Life settlement investments have allowed financial and banking institutions to not only buy their equity contractually, but also diversify their capital from any economic, market, and geopolitical risk. It's been part of the $1 billion blueprint followed by institutional investors. And if you're an accredited investor, you can also now participate in this vehicle with enormous growth potential. You can watch an informational webinar presented by one of the premier organizations providing life settlement investments, Penumbra Solutions, at cashflowninja.com/life settlements. Thank you again for joining me on the Cashflow Ninja. If you like what you hear and appreciate what we're trying to build here, please subscribe, rate, and write a review for our show on iTunes and share our show with family, friends, and your network. If you're not a subscriber to our newsletter, you can sign up for our newsletter at cashflowninja.com. I want to thank you for spending your most precious resource with me today, your time. Until next time, my friend, live a life of passion and purpose on your terms. This presentation is for educational and informational purposes only. The information being presented and considered does not consider your particular financial objectives or situation, and it does not make personalized recommendations. This material is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified tax and legal advisor or other qualified professionals, and you should not use the information in place of a customized consultation with a licensed professional regarding your specific personal financial objectives, situation, and needs. We believe the information provided is reliable, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, timeliness, or completeness.